उपाविशत विसृज स शरम शापम शोक संविघ्न मानस। ट्रांसलेशन इन पोर्पोर्ट बाय डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। संजय सेड, अर्जुन हैविंग दस स्पोकन ऑन द बैटल फील्ड कास्ट असाइड हिज बो एंड एरोज एंड सैट डाउन ऑन द चैरियट हिज माइंड ओवरवेल्म विद ग्रीफ। पर्पोर्ट, while observing the situation of his enemy, Arjuna stood up on the chariot. But he was so afflicted with lamentation that he sat down again. Setting aside his bow and arrows, such a kind and soft-hearted person in the devotional service of the Lord is fit to receive self-knowledge. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha श्री चैतन्य मनोभिष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदामय्यं ददाति स्वापदान्तिकं वंदेहं श्री गुरु श्रीजुता पदकमलं श्री गुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्री रूपं साग्रजातं सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजना सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्री राधा कृष्ण पादान सहगणा ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितंश्च। नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रष्टाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिन इति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पश्चात्य देशतारिणे वांछा कल्पतरु वश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमस्तुते किंचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिय। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण। सॉरी टू डिसअपॉइंट यू फॉर सम टाइम। तो इन दिस चैप्टर, इन द कंक्लूजन ऑफ द फर्स्ट चैप्टर, प्रभुपाद एक्सप्लेन्स द क्वालिफिकेशन ऑफ अर्जुन टू बी हियरिंग द नॉलेज ऑफ भगवद्गीता। When we understand Arjuna's predicament, and in the very first chapter, Prabhupada gives the background that what was the situation, what actually happened just before Arjuna is ready to hear the Bhagavad Gita. Pandavas were legally, morally, culturally, politically, from every aspect, had the right to attack the Kauravas on every front. But then Arjun individually became so conscious about, you know, what would happen if this war takes place. Even in that condition, Arjuna's confusion is not caused because he's bewildered because of sense gratification. Arjuna's bewilderment is not caused because, you know, there is no clarity of thought. Now, Arjuna's bewilderment is caused because of compassion. A personal compassion that Prabhupada explains in the previous verses. Arjuna was already compassionate to his army, but now he was also compassionate to the opposite people. And he said, Krishna, even if I win three planets, api trailokya rajasyam. And not only that, he said, even if they come with all their weapons attacking me, I would not mind them attacking me, but I will not raise my weapons. Now, this kind of detachment, this kind of vairagya, it is not ordinary. No, even Duryodhan once had vairagya. He sat for meditation. When he lost to Yudhishthira Maharaj in regards to, you know, he came to trouble the Pandavas, and one Gandharva captured him and tied him like a goat is tied, and they threw at the feet of Yudhishthira Maharaj, and
Yudhishthira Maharaj told Bhima and Arjun, you should release him since he's our brother. And Bhima said, why wait for 13 years? The Gandharvas are doing our job now only. So then Bhima was told by Yudhishthira, no. He said, for outsiders we are 105. So you go and release. So Bhima being very submissive. Can you imagine, Bhima is so powerful, but he never disobeyed his brother. Intellectually, yes, he was always disobeying. He was not able to understand what his brother is doing. But culturally, he was always respectful. So Duryodhan could not take it. He said, now I'm done with material life. I'm done with kingship. Dushyasan, you become the king. Just see the succession. No. After Duryodhan, he'll be the king. So he was sending him back and he sat for meditation till he would leave his body. But it was flitting. You know, he had his consultants also. They came down from the Patala Loka. They said, Duryodhan, you cannot do this. How will adharma spread? You are our representative, empowered representative of adharmic people. You have to go back and actually you have to fight against the Pandavas. You have to fight against the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Duryodhan was recharged. And he came back to Hastinapur to continue to be what he was before. But Arjuna was not like that. His renunciation, his vairagya was based upon wisdom. There was complete vigyan. Because Arjuna was able to see the tradition, and based on the tradition he was able to see the present. That if this war takes place, then millions of people will become widows. There will be unwanted population. And because of the unwanted population, there will be Varana Sankarta. So he is seeing the future also. And because of the Varana Sankarta, the children will not perform all the samskaras for their forefathers. And because they will not perform the samskaras for their forefathers will dwell in hell. So Arjuna is able to see the past. He is able to see the present. He is able to see the future, and not only that, he is able to see the post future also. A complete vision, an integrated vision for life. And that caused Arjuna's grief. So his daurbalya, his weakness was not a disease. His weakness was a strength. Therefore, one devotee was mentioning, first chapter of Bhagavad Gita is Arjuna Vishada Yoga. Vishada is Roga. Lamentation can never be Yoga. Lamentation is a Roga. But Arjuna, Vyasdev writes this as Yoga. Why? Because this Vishada was coming because of compassion. And this Vishada was connected to Krishna, because when he was in confusion, rather than making a book on his confusion, my confusions, you know, published by such and such publishing house, he did not make that. He approached Krishna. And because he approached Krishna, and he said, my dear Lord, I am confused. I do not know what I am supposed to do. Karpanya dosho pahata swabhava parchami tvam dharma sammuda cheta. Now somebody was telling me, there is a Mahabharat going on. Right, Star Plus. And lot of young people are watching it. And somebody told me, somebody asked this question to the character Arjuna in that Mahabharat. And they asked him, what are you looking in this Mahabharat? What is the most anticipated episode you are looking to act? Which is already done, or you are waiting for it? Very interesting. You know how, even though he is a professional actor, and is not even born in a Hindu family. So he said, I am waiting for that episode where Arjuna is bewildered and he takes shelter of Krishna. Because that is the heart of the Mahabharat. Where Arjuna is completely bewildered, but in that bewilderment also, where does he go? He goes to Krishna and he says, my dear Lord, please, dispel my doubts. And Prabhupada writes in the purport that to be in precarious condition no dilemma is quite common in this material world. Material world is so arranged that there are always this dilemma, there conflict. Should I do this? Should I not do that? Like today morning, Maharaj was very beautifully explaining ecstasy of installation, but anxiety of something will happen to the deities. Life is like that only. You are enjoying Krishna's beauty of being installed, but at the same time there is fear. Kuch ho gaya to? You don't get only one kind of consciousness. You don't get only one kinds of emotions. There are combined emotions also. Like he was narrating so beautifully about Krishna killing Kamsa. Right. A soft-hearted Vaishnava is talking about murder and killing. He was enjoying and everybody else was also enjoying. Why? Because in that cruelty of killing Kamsa, there is a liberation for the Kamsa also. So we see, therefore Arjuna here is so much confused, but that confusion is not a diseased one. In this material world, unfortunately, our confusion is also based on complete selfishness. Should I eat ice cream or Pepsi? No, this is our confusion. All our confusion is based upon what? Only my selfishness. That is called as material world. But Arjuna's confusion is not like that. Yudhishthira Maharaj's confusion is not about personal, growth. His confusion is always based upon, should I follow truthfulness or should I follow compassion? The advanced, evolved people, they also have confusion, but their confusion is based upon not their personal selfishness, but rather how can I not become selfish? Therefore, in the Mahabharata, when Yudhishthira Maharaj, when he was blessed by Yaksha, his father, he answered all the questions. After answering all the questions, Yudhishthira Maharaj was asked by his father, he said, ask for some benediction. He said, I don't need any benediction. He said, give me the benediction that I am not afflicted by kama, krodha and lobha. His father said, you are Dharmaraj. You don't have these things. He said, but still. He said, please bless me that I am freed from kama, krodha and lobha. So therefore Arjuna, like here Prabhupada writes so beautifully, that his compassion was the qualification for Arjuna to hear Bhagavad Gita. Right. So therefore when Krishna spoke to Arjuna, Arjuna was willing to hear. Krishna took Arjuna to another level. Arjuna's level was not that he was wrong. It was not that Arjuna was bad. But that was not doing so good to the large number of people. Individually, Arjuna's compassion is very profound, but collectively at this stage, it was not very good. Arjuna's renunciation could only increase exploitation of the Kauravas. Adharma would spread. And because the adharma would spread, in the name of detachment, Arjuna's compassion would only cause greater violence. Therefore Krishna, we discuss, myself and Radha Gopinath Prabhu, we are telling stories from Mahabharata. And if you see, many times, many good people are bound by good qualities. The very good quality becomes binding to them. Arre, I cannot speak untruth. One should not. One should always speak the truth. One should always be compassionate. One should always be nice. But sometime one is forced to be disciplinary. One has to take a stick. Not to beat, but at least to show. That is also painful. But if somebody is bound by a certain good qualities, then things don't move. And if you see Krishna is not bound by good qualities, rather he binds the good qualities. He utilizes the good qualities. So creating violence against the Kauravas was not the, sometimes people say, Bhagwan kuch bhi kar sakte hai, isliye unhone yudh karaya. Wo Bhagwan hai na, to kuch bhi kar sakte hai. Because he is God, he can do anything. Prabhupada writes in the third chapter, God is never whimsical. Krishna is not whimsical. That is not that it's his leela. Ki I wanted everybody should be killed because that's enjoyable. Like Prabhupada tells the story of one Nawab. You know, this man, his servant was cleansing the chandelier. And one of the crystal stone fell on the marble floor. He didn't have a nice wooden floor. It fell on the marble floor and it made a typical sound. And the servant realized, now the crystal stone has fallen down, now the head will fall down. My head will fall down. And the Nawab came out. He said, what is that? He said, a crystal stone fell down. He said, aur gira. Let more crystal stone fall. The sound is very good. Because he was a Nawab, he had so much of money, so his pleasure was based upon destruction. Now he was taking pleasure in breaking the crystal stones. I remember somebody told me this story when I think the Nazis, you know, they visited somebody and they said, how are you so disciplined? And the commander said, you know, my army is so submissive to us, they can do anything and everything for us. And they were standing on the mountain top. And he told his army, now you march. They started marching, left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right. And they kept on marching and they came to the, you know, cliff. Now you can't say, sir, it's a cliff now. Because unless your boss orders you, you know, march stops, you have to keep marching. And two soldiers march off the cliff. He said, this is our discipline. So, they take pleasure in establishing discipline through violence. They take pleasure establishing, fun based upon destruction. Like there's one devotee, he's a mixed martial art boxer. No? And he was telling me, in mixed martial art, there is no rule. You can pounce, you can beat anywhere. That is called as grounding and pounding. No? You bring people down and beat them very badly. I said, you know, I was shocked. He said, Prabhuji, I can show you some videos also. Huh? No. Grounding and pounding till that person says, you know, stop. He has to give some signal. We can pound them on their face. We can pound them on their chest. We can pound them anywhere. And just to handle that, he does not fight. He said, I only coach. I said, why you don't fight? He said, because, you know, to fight on this kind of games, you have to take all kinds of steroids. You have to make your body so desensitized so that you don't experience what's happening with your body. A different way of transcending the bodily concept of life. But afterwards you have to go to the hospital. And this becomes the art and it has become very famous. So therefore, just see, Arjuna is such a warrior. Can you imagine that he has such a divine weapon? And still he has self-control. He will not use his weapons whimsically. If somebody gets the weapon in their hand, therefore the police department, whoever has the license, every year they have to go back. Not to check their gun, but to check their brain. Mind. Is he stable? You know? Is he coherent? Because when the machine gun comes in your hand, you know, the consciousness, what happens? One starts feeling, how should I use this now? I need to use this. And Mother Sita told this story to Ram. In Vanva, she told this story to Ram. She said, my dear Lord, I know you are very chaste to me. I know there is great integrity in you, but I think there is some problem in regards to your bow. He said, we have taken this vanaprastha life, and I think you are using your bow too much. So she said, I am only speaking out of respect, not because I want to find faults with you. Sita told to Lord Ram. Ram said, he heard her. He didn't say, you stupid woman, keep quiet. Ram told, he said, now you hear what I want to say. वी आर इन द वन बट वी आर नॉट इन वानप्रस्थ. मैं वन में हूं परंतु वानप्रस्थ नहीं हूं. वी आर स्टिल दी सर्वेंट्स ऑफ रघुकुल ऑन बिहाफ ऑफ भरत. वी आर हियर एंड वेन एवर आई हियर डिस्ट्रेस कॉल ऑफ पीपल, वेन एवर आई हियर डिस्ट्रेस कॉल ऑफ पीपल, माय बो ऑटोमेटिकली राइजेस टू पनिश द कल्प्रिट. एंड दैट इज वॉट द ड्यूटी ऑफ अ क्षत्रिय इज. अ क्षत्रिय ड्यूटी इज टू मिनिमाइज वंस फियर. Like somebody send me this four varanas, how they function. Brahman agyan ko kam karta hai, kshatriya arakshan ko kam karta hai, vaishya abhav ko kam karta hai, aur shudra alasya ko kam karta hai. This is the responsibility. And Arjuna had this great self-control to use weapons in such a way that just like a doctor, when he has to perform a surgery, he performs surgery, does not steal the kidney. No? He has the art of performing surgery expertly, but if he does not heal, but while healing, he does greater damage, that means he is misusing his education. Similarly, Arjuna had the great power, can do anything and everything, use Brahmastra, use Pashupatastra. Can you imagine? Brahmaji is pleased with him, Lord Shiva is pleased with him, Agni is pleased with him, Indra is pleased with him, Hanumanji is sitting, Krishna is there. With this kind of resources, it is but natural, like Maharaj began today, he said, when you are successful, there is pride. And when you are not successful, there is depression. It does not give rise to humility. Humility does not come automatically. Since I am a failure, therefore I am very humble. Now, success gives rise to pride. There is the chances. And failure gives rise to depression and envy. Nothing in this world, I always quote this, Bhishma Dev said to Yudhishthira Maharaj, he said, Yudhishthira, in this world nothing is completely advantageous and nothingly completely disadvantageous. Everything has its good side and everything has its bad side. One has to be careful about how one uses one's relationship, one's things also. So Arjuna's detachment is so profound, that is so profound, that the warrior has a power to deal with situation. He can rectify the situation. He single-handedly can fight and get the victory which he had done just few days before in the Virata battle. But now he says, even if they come attacking with all the weapons, I will not fight them. And even if I have to win 3 planetary systems, I don't mind it. I would prefer going to the forest and living on begging. Now this Vaishnavata is so great. And what does Krishna do? Internally does Krishna appreciates, no doubt. But now Arjuna had come there, you know, to practice a dharma which is beneficial for establishing a proper governance. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. So therefore Krishna, what did he say? Klaibyam masmagamam partham. He said, Arjuna, what kind of impurities have come upon you? So Arjuna is chastised by Krishna, which is a good quality, which is not a bad quality. No, in our life, when we are practicing Krishna consciousness, what to speak of Kaurava-like people? We have a fight with Pandavas-like people only. We don't see devotees going out and fighting. No, problem is the fight always happens inside only. We think, I am Yudhishthira Maharaj and this other devotee is Duryodhana. We think, you know, I am Draupadi and this person is Dushyasan. But other party also thinks the same thing. So that is the problem. So here, I am quite amazed by Arjuna's character, that how he is able to say in such a situation, no. And Krishna does not appreciate that. He said, what kind of impurities have come upon you? And where did this impurity come upon? you know, where this concept of I want to beg, I will go on begging, I don't mind living on begging, Arjuna is saying, because just before the battle began, Dhritarashtra sent Sanjay to Pandavas and he said, you give this message to the Pandavas. And the message was, just see how Dhritarashtra was so shameless. He had developed all the base qualities to highest degree. Shameless, crooked, wicked, weak. No? And he sent this message to the Pandavas. He says, look, my dear, you are also my children only. And my children are already spoiled. So therefore, why you want to come here and start a war? Anyway, you are all habituated to live in the forest. You are born in the forest. And then again you went to the forest. 3 times you went to the forest. And if you come here and you create a war, you know what will happen? You will all die also in this battle. Better I say, you actually live on begging. This is what Dhritarashtra told the Pandavas. A bhiksha mangkar jivan nirbhar karo. And where do you beg? Don't come and beg in Hastinapur. Better you beg in Dwarka. If you beg in Hastinapur, the praja will be very angry with me. So therefore you beg in Dwarka. Can you imagine? Dhritarashtra sent this message to the Pandavas. But that time the message did not make any sense. That message only made the Pandavas very determined, very strong to take action. But certain words, when they are very strong and powerful, somewhere they stay within our subconscious mind. And suddenly this came up, crept up in Arjuna's heart. And he said, I'll go to the forest, live on begging. And can you imagine Krishna's detachment, that he has prepared the Pandavas so nicely to help him establish dharma, because nobody else was qualified to help him, because everybody had their personal agenda. Only Pandavas had no agenda, and Krishna prepared them. And this time when they were about to help him, they said, we want to go to the forest. A teacher who has prepared his student to appear for a most competitive exam, and is sitting in the exam hall, and he tells his guide, sir, I have lost all interest in appearing for the exam. What the teacher should do? Curse him, right? But Krishna in this condition also, you know, the beauty of Krishna is that Arjuna is confused, but Krishna has the power to, you know, enlighten Arjuna. In the midst of such a difficult situation, the war field is not like this. You know, everybody is either silently listening or silently sleeping. No? But nobody creates a turmoil, nobody creates a ruckus in the class. But in the war field, they're not just shooting. They are shooting words also. You know, all kinds of boasting words. All kinds of musical instruments are being played. The elephants are doing triumphant. They are doing trumpet. And then horses are making sound. And the chariots are moving about. You know, everybody is just pulling their bows and making sound. Everybody is blowing their conch and blowing their, you know, power also. It's the most difficult place to give Bhagavad Gita knowledge. Krishna didn't tell him, okay, let us go to a peaceful place in a cave. I want to say something to you. Right in the midst of the battlefield, only in 40 minutes, Prabhupada writes in Bhakti Rasamrita, Krishna spoke this Bhagavad Gita in 40 minutes to Arjun. And he did not come out with his iPad. Come on, I know I got something to say to you. Prepared lecture. He did not give a prepared lecture. He just came down there and just spoke within 40 minutes. And Prabhupada explains, even after 40 millions of years, this Bhagavad Gita is still fresh. And therefore, even somebody like an actor who does not have any background, no background of Vedic culture, he is a Kashmiri Muslim, this boy, who is acting as Arjun. And he said, I am waiting for that episode where Arjuna is bewildered and I take shelter of Krishna through the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. Even after 40 millions of years, Prabhupada says Bhagavad Gita is ever fresh. Why? Because the Bhagavad Gita is spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in what condition? Arjuna's compassion, as Prabhupada explains, was the qualification of Arjuna. And Krishna's compassion to Arjuna, it became a song of God. You know, it just flew out of his mouth. And after the war was over, one day Arjuna told Krishna, Krishna, I forgot the Bhagavad Gita. Can you speak once again? They were going for a stroll. Arjuna asked this question. Krishna said, you know, it is not that it comes automatically like that. There has to be an occasion. As Prabhupada explains, it is not a discussion sitting on the coffee table and, you know, sipping certain chai and coffee and discussing, what do you think about Bhagavad Gita? That is like, he explains, you have a honey bottle and you are vigorously licking the honey bottle from outside. What will be the reaction? Your tongue will pain, that's all. But you cannot experience the sweetness of the honey. For experiencing that sweetness of honey, Arjuna entered into that situation and Krishna invited him into that situation. And on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, on the chariot, Krishna spoke this such a beautiful knowledge to Arjuna. And in conclusion, Krishna told Arjun, Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja. Surrender all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. Usually when we talk about this Saranagati, we think Saranagati means now God takes the responsibility of everything. I will go and sleep behind the chariot. My work is done because he has told that I am giving you all the shelter. So Arjuna did not go and sleep on the back seat. And Krishna was, you know, riding the chariot, shooting also, releasing Sudarshan Chakra also. Nothing changed for Arjuna basically. Whatever situation he was experiencing, nothing changed. What changed was his attitude. What changed was a consciousness. He became enlightened one. And then he went through whatever he was supposed to go through. What was it? Bhishma Dev was there. What was it? Dronacharya was there. You know, he had his friends there on the other side, like Ashwatthama. He had Bhurishrava, whom he respected so much. Everything remained the same. He had to lose his son Abhimanyu also. But because the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita was there, you know, taking shelter of Krishna doesn't mean that all our karma get destroyed. We get the ability to withstand our karma. Otherwise, it is complete pure escapism. You know, I do murder, then I come to Gopinath, he said, take this garland. So that, you know, I gave you garland so that I should be freed from that sinful activity. Therefore, our Shastra explains that chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and committing sinful activities on the strength of the holy name is an aparad. So Arjuna, you know, he didn't tell Krishna, come on, I heard Bhagavad Gita, how is that, you know, my son died? What kind of Sharanagati you gave me? Somebody asked this question to Prabhupada also. Arjuna heard Bhagavad Gita and how is that he is crying? Prabhupada said, that is but natural. He said, having feelings for his son is natural. In fact, if Arjuna would have not cried, there is a problem. That shows is that hard-hearted. In the name of Bhagavad Gita philosophy, I heard Bhagavad Gita, my son is not a body, he is a spirit soul. Wherever you go, it doesn't matter. After all, he has taken so many bodies. What difference does it make? No, he said, no, that means Arjuna is crying. That means it is but natural. But he did not stop his duty. Arjuna did not stop his duty. My son is dead, so why should I fight? Because there was no personal agenda involved in the Pandavas. And still, unfortunately, what people say, Bhagavad Gita was spoken by Krishna to make Arjuna fight, even though he didn't want to fight. What kind of God is this? Such a whimsical God that Arjuna is willing not to fight. He is becoming a super Jesus Christ. Right. But here Krishna is saying, no, no, you have to fight. How can you do like this? Somebody said, therefore Krishna resides in hell. Some community people believe that Bhagwan aisa yuddha kara isliye narak mein. Somebody asked this question. I said, yeah, he has gone there to rescue those people who say that he is in the hell. And then because Krishna convinced Arjuna, communicated Arjuna so nicely, then Arjuna, whatever he did, shooting arrows, killing warriors, as Maharaj explained, a sophisticated way of telling that they were killed, no, they were liberated. But it is not only sophisticated way of telling that they were liberated, they were killed, but it's actually reality also. Because everyone who saw Krishna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, What happened to them? Uddhava speaks this to Vidur in the Bhagavatam. When they met with each other after long time, Vidura was feeling separation from Krishna, and then Uddhava was also feeling separation from Krishna. He inquired about Krishna and the Pandavas and the Yadavas, and Uddhava told all the story about, you know, the passing away of the Yadavas from this world, and Krishna winding up his pastime from this world. And what did Uddhava say? He said, my dear Vidur, one very nice thing also he told. He made Vidura's heart melt. He said, Vidur, when Krishna was going back to his dham, he remembered you. Can you imagine Krishna remembering Vidur when Vidur was not around, and Vidura's heart just, you know, he felt so humbled that I am nobody and Krishna remembered me. Vidur cried tears of joy. And then Uddhava remembers Krishna. In his remembrance of Krishna, Uddhava says one very beautiful thing. He says, my dear Vidur, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Krishna is fighting. Arjuna is fighting. And at one time what happened? When Krishna came down, this is the event which is not described by Uddhava, but this is what Mahabharata explains. One time when Krishna was taking Arjuna's chariot, in the midst of one huge battle, Arjuna's horses became tired. And Krishna told, you know, your horses are tired, I need to massage them. So therefore you get down from the chariot. So Arjuna got down from the chariot and Krishna started massaging the horses. And Arjuna created a beautiful lake. And they saw that Krishna is massaging the horses, but while massaging the horses, all the warriors on the battlefield, they remembered Krishna feeding the cows in Vrindavan. So Krishna has the power to create Vrindavan on the battlefield of Kurukshetra also. So everybody was appreciative. You know, the Lord is doing this. And because they were able to see this, they stopped fighting against Arjun because they were all drinking the beauty of Krishna. And Uddhava remembers this. He said, when Arjuna was fighting the Kauravas and their army, all these people, Netra Pibanto Nayanabhi Ramam, all these people were drinking Krishna's beauty, Krishna's simplicity, Krishna's humility, you know, Krishna's greatness, which was so profound, that is feeding the horses, massaging them, they were drinking the beauty from their eyes. Netra Pibanto Nayanabhi Ramam, Parthastraputam Padamapurasa. And meanwhile, Arjuna's arrows were purifying them of their contamination. And then this combination of appreciating Krishna and punishment of their sinful activities of taking side on the Kauravas, what happened to them? Uddhava says, they achieved highest perfection. And Prabhupada writes in the purport that those who appreciated positively Krishna's personal form, they went back to the spiritual world, and others achieved the impersonal liberation. But everybody was freed from the material entanglement. So the war field also, the battlefield of Kurukshetra, yes, there was certainly violence which Krishna wanted to avoid, which he told the Kauravas, just give them 5 villages. But then they were saying, no, this tumor has to stay with us. When the tumor has to stay in the body and nothing is working, what would you expect of a doctor? He can't say, I'm a practitioner of non-violence, therefore I do not perform surgery. The tumor has to be taken out. So Krishna had to take out the tumor in the form of the Kauravas. But while taking out the tumor in the form of the Kauravas, he punished them in such a way, but every soldier on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, because they were there with Krishna, they achieved some kind of perfection. And this is how Bhagavad Gita is presented. This is how Bhagavatam is presented. So therefore, when we study this Bhagavad Gita, as much as possible in Arjuna's consciousness, because unfortunately in this modern mundane world, especially the present age, we are made to think that we are educated, very qualified. And because of that, there is always this arrogance that I can understand. It has become a fashion to defy God. to say, I don't believe in God, that means you are very progressive, you are very civilized. Can you imagine? That when you say, I don't believe in God, that means you are progressive, you are very civilized. If you say that I believe in God, I worship God, that is considered as very primitive. Are Dev Puja Karta Rehta. Like Shurpanaka told, no? Shurpanaka told Ram, when she introduced herself, said, I am Shurpanaka, brother, sister of Ravan. And she said, my Ravan, my brother is like this. She glorified Ravan as nastiness. And she talked about Kumbhakaran also. She felt proud of presenting Kumbhakaran and Ravan. But when he came to Vibhishan, he said, but our Vibhishan is like a black spot in our house. Oh, Bhagwan, Bhagwan, dharma, dharma karta rehta. You know, and that is the time Ram got attracted to Vibhishan. It's, wow, I want to associate with him. He heard about Vibhishan and Ram. And he also heard about Kumbhakaran and Ravan, but he also about Vibhishan. But she presented Vibhishan as a bad character. So therefore, we see that as much as one is away from Krishna consciousness, as much as one is away from spiritual culture, one is considered as very progressive, advanced. And therefore, Prabhupada presented Gita so logically. You know, just we had this GCL program, Gita Champions League. And I didn't realize that I'm supposed to give a talk here. So I just spoke something there, so I'm just extending here. And we were discussing the same thing. 200-300 years ago, in every school, India had almost 500,000 schools. That's what British archives mention. And in these schools, Gita, Ramayana and Bhagavat was compulsory. Can you imagine hundreds and thousands of people every day without fail, they would begin their day in their school discussing in between their astrology, their vastu, their engineering, you know, whatever they would study. In between what they would study? Gita, Ramayana, Bhagavat. Right now, if somebody takes Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavat, Ramayana in their school, they'll say, you cannot bring this book, huh? Isko nahi lekar aao. Isse kya ho jayega? Yudh ho jayega. Isme samaj mein ahimsa fail jayega. This will create war. I remember somebody had given me one article to read. Somebody said, if you keep Mahabharata and Bhagavad Gita in the home, usme yudh ho jata hai. There'll be war in the house. As if their life is full of Vaikuntha. No? No, he wrote, he said, this is, and he was a famous Vastu consultant. He said, never keep Bhagavad Gita. And especially where your bedroom is, never keep. Where should we keep Bhagavad Gita? No, and Prabhupada, you know, that's his greatness. He made Bhagavad Gita global. Globalization is only good when it is connected to spreading the principle of dharma. Because the teaching of Bhagavad Gita is universal. It is not sectarian. It has a universal principle and therefore it continues to stay not for only 2,000-3,000 years. It continues to stay for eternal because this is the eternal knowledge. Therefore, when Lord Chaitanya saw that Brahmana studying Gita, just in efforts to study Bhagavad Gita, however, he was trying to study, he was not good at studying Bhagavad Gita, but because his guru had ordered him to study, somehow he was managing, but he was not able to manage, and he was crying tears. So when Mahaprabhu came to Ranganath temple, he saw him read. He said, why are you crying while reading Bhagavad Gita? Others could have said, you know, because he's able to read Bhagavad Gita, he's not able to read Bhagavad Gita, everybody is ridiculing him, so therefore he's crying because of depression. But he said, you know, I am reading Bhagavad Gita because my spiritual master told me to read Bhagavad Gita. But I am actually not a good reader. But whenever I open, what do I see? I see this thing, that Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is driving Arjuna's chariot, you know, performing such a menial task for his devotee. He said, every time I read Bhagavad Gita, I find this only. And that is an essence of Bhagavad Gita. Mahaprabhu said, you are actually true student of Bhagavad Gita. And he embraced him. He said, you are the true student of Bhagavad Gita. And that is the conclusion of Gita. The conclusion of Gita is, Arjuna is enlightened, he is all koshas, he is physical shit, that is annamaya kosh, governance is established, good kingdom was established, pranamaya kosh, that means all the praja would start breathing now, they are properly breathing, with Duryodhana you couldn't breathe only. How can you breathe with Dushyasana, Duryodhana, Shakuni, you know, and best of the heroes Karana around, how can you breathe? It is not possible. But now they were able to breathe. There was a relief. And then the ultimate, the Anandamaya Kosh was established. And in this way, Krishna, by establishing the Pandavas as the king of Hastinapur, which Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavatam is non-different from Vrindavan. The Pandavas Hastinapur is non-different from Vrindavan. Only when there is proper physical, intellectual, emotional growth, then we can have the stability of Krishna consciousness. And in that stable Krishna consciousness, one can chant with great conviction, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And in this way we can actually follow Krishna's instruction in the Gita. Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu ma manusmara yuddhacha. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. I was just waiting, when will I complete it?
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Nami Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Aschatyate Satarine Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Eva Cha.